Blog Talk Radio.
Great Sunday afternoon. It's that time again for another great show. Welcome to the Anthony and B-Fly Show. I'm your host, Anthony, and alongside me is my wonderful and great co-host, B-Fly, Bianca Fly, who's also a host of her very own show, The Beautiful Butterfly Show. But today, we have a special guest. Her name is Cheryl L. Williams, and she is a parent expert and book author. She has a lot of insightful information that she will share with us today. So sit back and relax and enjoy another fantastic show.
Great Sunday afternoon. I'm your host of the Anthony B Fly Show. Anthony, alongside me today is my co-host B Fly. Well, actually, she's not with us today. She just coming back from North Carolina from her baby shower. You know, if you don't know, B Fly, Bianca Fly, her and her husband are expecting this December. So she just had a baby shower this weekend. So she won't be joining us today, but I'll be able to take over as always. No, not a big deal. Before we bring our special guests on today, I just want to start off with our usual opening business. The interviews have really been extremely overwhelming. I mean, we've been booking interviews. We actually have booked quite up all the way up until the new year, and we still get inboxes. So we appreciate that. We appreciate everybody that's reaching out to us, trying to be showcased on our show. We don't take that for granted. You know, you could be anywhere in the world trying to get interviewed, but you chose the Anthony and B-Fly Show right here on Vibration Radio, so we definitely appreciate that. I'll continue to send your bios because soon as January hit, we're going to be scheduling real hard. I'm on a personal mission to send out requests to more men, have more men, more authors, more men that's doing some positive things come onto the show and get showcased here on the Anthony and B-Flash Show. So just keep that in mind and continue to spread the word. For my blog, of course, if you're not aware, you know, my blog is being featured on three different venues right now, nextmagazine.com, simplyelevate.com, and, of course, www.anthonydcollins.com. I appreciate all the support and love that I've been getting on my website. That has also been quite overwhelming. I just, you know, checked the numbers. I'm currently, for the month of October, over maybe 200,000 hits. I'm being viewed in, like, over 95 countries. And I think I'm over like about 3,000 or 4,000 unique visitors. So anybody who keeps track of their website know how important it is to have unique visitors and new visitors come to your website. I also just received my first 5-star review for my book that's coming out January 2014, titled Life is Outstanding. So thanks for the love and support. I appreciate that. And if you missed our Thursday night show, it was an excellent show. It really was. I even got a couple of phone calls from people telling me how inspired they were from the show. It was 6 young ladies who got together, all the authors and career women, who got together and did one project. It's called Just Between Us. A lot of inspirational stories about their life growing up all the way up into their current situation today. It was very inspiring. It was a very emotional show. I suggest you definitely take a look at that. It was our Thursday night show, so you can always go to our archive and check that out. And, of course, I had my Friday night show where I promote my blog, Aggressively Demanding Change. The latest blog I released is Teens Taking Back Our Responsibility. I think that's a blog that you will really enjoy. My editor told me that that was one of her favorites so far. So go check that out. You know, again, at my website, www.anthonydcollins.com. You can check it out at nextmagazine.com. And my first article will be released on simplyelevate.com November 1st. So the previous articles that I released haven't been submitted to Simply Elevate just now. I just joined them maybe a couple weeks ago. So it's going to be a new blog that will be released with him, released with Derek Palmer, the CEO of SimplyElevate.com, November 1st. So stay tuned for that. Without further ado, what impressed me the most about the young lady we're about to have on is that when I started submitting information about her being on my show, I started to receive a lot of inboxes from people saying that her books were extremely helpful. So I ordered mine Friday, Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teenager. And if you know me personally, I actually have two teenagers. My son is 18, Jamon, and my daughter is 14, Destiny. So I cannot wait to read these books because I believe that at any time, parents can always use many resources and many things to try to learn how to communicate with their kids. And I'm big on communication. I try different ways to try to communicate with mine. So I'm quite ready for this show. Without further ado, we have Cheryl L. Williams to join us today, who is a parent coach and an author as well. How you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Anthony, for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem. No problem. The honor is all mine. I'm sorry B-Fly couldn't be with us today, but like I mentioned, she's on her way traveling back from North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand. I just listened to the intro, and she's also expecting, so that's great news as well.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Like I mentioned in the intro, your message is really reaching a lot of people because a lot of people started inboxing me and telling me that, you know, they read quite a few of your books, or at least read one of them anyway, and it really has changed their communication with their kids. So, I mean, that's always good to get a response like that simply by just posting links. So, you know, I'm really excited to get into this interview today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited about having it, and I am really excited to hear that you've had people contact you about this book, these books. This is just like you said. I loved what you said about being a dad who likes to communicate. You know, there are not a lot of dads that are doing that, and at least we don't hear about it. So this is great news.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one of the questions I got quite a few, but one of the questions that I want to get into right away. For you, when did you realize your passion for being a parent coach and becoming sort of a spokesperson for parents coping with teenagers?
Well, that's a great question. I discovered that part of one of my skill sets, as they say, when I was teaching high school. I was teaching high school boys. It was a boys-only school. And I had a number of parents, both men and women, tell me they didn't know what to do with their son. And, you know, I would watch their son in class, and I had the type of classes that I had were technology classes. So my classes changed every semester. So I probably had easily 300 to 600 kids per year. So I ran through a lot of young people. I had upper classes as well, and I got a chance to see not only freshmen, but all the way through seniors. And, of course, they grew and matured. But to hear a parent say, "I don't know what to do with my son," alarmed me, especially, you know, I had, you know, some quick answers for them that I won't repeat on air. But, you know, what I can say to you is that, you know, what I can say is I would just talk to them about being a consistent parent. You know, I found that in a lot of cases the parents were busy. You know, some of them had maybe two jobs, especially if they were single parents, or they were, you know, big in their companies that they worked for or had their own businesses, and they just did not have a lot of time for that young person in their life. Huge mistake, huge. So I would talk to them. But as I started talking, a friend of mine recommended that I jot my ideas down, and I had ideas on newspapers, on napkins, everywhere, because they were just coming out of my head about what to say to parents. So that's how I got started.
Wow, that's great. That's great. I always say everybody has a passion and a purpose. It's just whether or not they want to share it with the world. So that's great that you decided to do that. I mean, I really appreciate it because, believe me, I got my notebook out and I'm going to be jotting down a lot of stuff because we never can get enough information when it comes to parenting. Never. You know, I always tell anybody, you know, share your information, the good and the bad, because you never know who you're helping when it comes to parenting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is one of my – I actually asked myself this question. I'm sorry, too, as well, this next question. But what are the biggest challenges in your experience that parents will face with teenagers?
One experience that is crucial and critical is when that young person, usually when they turn from a, I like to say tween years. So tween years are 11, 12. So, you know, up to that time, they're usually pretty easy to get along with, most kids. They are willing to please you as the parent, most of them. And so they're nice. They come in, they speak, they hug, and they want to be with you all the time. And then they hit those tween years, and they kind of change a little bit. Some days they like you, and some days they don't like you. And then they turn into teenagers. And so I would say probably the most challenging time of a parent is when here you are just moving along with your wonderful family, everything is good, and you run into this brick wall called a teenager. What are you supposed to do when they won't come out of the room, when they tell you they hate you, when they just start talking back, and you're like, I'm going to kill you. You're not going to talk back to me. Or, you know, or whatever happens. You know, maybe they are experimenting with drugs, or maybe they're coming in late, or anything that is outside of the norm of what your family has as far as guidelines and rules. What are you supposed to do? And a lot of parents, if they're like how I was raised, you're not going to tolerate it. And yet, those kids are still going to do, unless you have something in place, they're still going to do what they're doing, and you're going to be yelling and screaming and losing your cool. And I say you don't have to do that. You can stay sane and raise your teenagers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, you know, I was kind of presenting with that this Friday because my daughter did something, and her mom kind of just lost it. And I just listened to her. So I took my daughter for a walk, and it's something that we do quite often. We just go to a walk in a little forest by my house, and I just told her to embrace nature. You know, it's a lot of times you just go outside and take a deep breath. A lot of troubles or problems that you have would be solved just by, you know, embracing nature. So, but you're right. You know, taking a calm approach and letting them know that, you know, you love them and you're here for them, and just, I guess it's like timing, knowing when to put your foot down, but also knowing when to be really extremely calm, because, you know, teenagers don't react. And I remember being a teenager, and I'm sure you do as well. We don't react really when it seems like we're getting challenged or pushed in the corner.
Right, because, you know, what's really what we all forget, you, like you said, we forget that we were teens. And the thing about the teens is that they really are little adults. I know nobody wants to hear that. Please forgive me, audience, but it's the truth. So they're old enough to say, no, I'm not doing that. But they're still young enough that they really do need that guidance from you and that maturity that you already have. And so you have to pick your battles. You know, sometimes you're going to have to say, okay, yeah, they just snapped off on me. I'm not going to knock them through the wall. You know, and, you know, some of the things that I talk about in trying to stay sane are things like, maybe you go in your room, parent, and you count to 10 before you curse them out or knock them upside the wall, or you guys are yelling back and forth at each other. None of those are winning tactics. You go in your room, you count to 10. If you're a praying person, you pray. You say something.
Right.
You have time out, and then you come back in and you say, you know what, let's talk about this. And one of the things that young people, they really are forgiving. Generally, they are, unless they've had years and years of abuse with you. But we're not talking about that right now. So, you know, you'll find that, for the most part, some cool-off time, you go back in, and they see that you're communicating. And not everybody responds to that, but generally they will. You know, generally that same child that you had that was 4 or 5 years younger is still the same child. So some of the things that they're used to you doing, like you took your daughter out and you took her for a walk in the woods, they still want to do that with you. They don't want you to stop that. And I think sometimes as parents we think, oh, gosh, they're a teenager now. They're not going to want to sit and, you know, make ice cream cones or, you know, walk in the woods or, you know, listen to silly songs or whatever you used to do, you know. They do still want it. You know, that's their language of love with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what me and my daughter talked about, because I had took her to this forest a little bit before the summer, and because of our schedules and just lack of me just making sure that we went more often, and she told me the first time I took her, she really enjoyed it. But when we talked Friday, I said, you know, is this something she would like to do like every other Friday at least, or at minimum, once a month? She said, absolutely, because she enjoys it. And I said, well, you know, I haven't even brought, you know, your brother out here, but I'm going to make sure he come next time. This could be something that we just do. And we was only out there about 30, 40 minutes, but, you know, we cleared our minds, we talked and discussed some things. And I think, like you just mentioned, you know, those type of things are what we all should want to do, you know, not just the kids, but we should all should cherish these moments before, you know, life gets in our way and our kids get older and it seems to be a little bit too late.
Well, you know what, Anthony, what's really interesting about this whole journey as a parent is that if you start establishing, like, I love what you said about your daughter and the time with her. So if you decide to bring your son, take him on a different time, because that time mm-hmm. that you have with her, she's going to look forward to, seriously.
Okay.
And if you bring him in at the same time, unless, you know, unless you get her permission, and I know that sounds
mm-hmm.
weird, but it's the truth,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that you have a different set of conversations that you want to have with him that he'll respond to that she won't know anything about. And so, you know, even I say this to parents who have twins, you know, you could have twin daughters, and they will have entirely different personalities. So you got to do
Absolutely.
Something different with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great advice, great advice. And I will do that, because I did ask my daughter, and she said she didn't mind, but even still, I think I will start it off that way, because my son has never been. So I think the first time that I take him, it probably will just be me and him, and then I, like, incorporate a time where we all go, you know, at least once together, and then just see how they feel about that. That's a great idea. See, I'm taking notes. I'm taking those people. Thank you. No, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Well, you know what's really funny is what I learned with my daughter is that she's 5 years older than her brother. And so I didn't realize this until quite later, but our time together would be when I would do her hair. And so I'd do
okay.
her hair, and occasionally somebody would call me on my phone. And, you know, hairdressers are known for talking on the phone while they're doing a client.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my daughter corrected me, Mom, this is my time. And I said, you know, whoever I was talking to, I got to talk to you a little later because this is our time together. But they will, if they get used to time with you, they'll get very possessive of it, as they should. This is
right.
their time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. That's great information. Great information. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Like I said, I'm taking full notes. And I don't know if you heard me, but I did purchase your book Friday, and I'm looking forward to it. They say to be here Thursday. The one raising your teens, you know, trying to raise your teens, same while you know raising your. What's the title? I'm sorry.
Trying to stay sane while raising your teens.
Yeah, see, and you see, I must not be all the way sane. I couldn't even get the title right, but yeah, that's the one I got, and I'm looking forward to it. I ended up purchasing all three, but that's the one I just ordered Friday. Now, I'm going to ask one more question. I got a lot of questions, actually. But
go ahead.
And then I want to kind of just start focusing on your individual projects and stuff like
okay.
that before we take a quick break. But this question right here, what is the difference in raising teenage boys from girls? And before you answer that, for me, you know, I definitely see the difference because my son is 18 and my daughter is 14. So it's a four-year difference, and I've been with the highs and lows on both ends, so I definitely can see the difference. But from in your opinion and what you've been helping people with in your own personal experience, what is the difference in raising teenage boys from girls?
Well, I have two of each, and
okay.
the major difference, in my opinion, and this is what I learned when I was teaching the high school boys don't need a lot of talk. They don't, you know, women like to talk and explain things. That's kind of our nature.
Uh-huh.
Males are not like that. So what I found with my students is that they'd be looking straight at me. I knew they had turned me off. I could tell that their attention had gone somewhere else. And so you
uh-huh.
have to say what you're going to say quickly. You got to mean it. There's no going back and forth with them. And
uh-huh.
and then just wait, you know, and that's a better way to communicate. This, you know, nagging, and I would tell some of my parents, my female parents, especially if they were single parents, just say what you need to say and keep on going. Don't belabor the point. You know, I told you not, no, that's not going to work. This is what you're going to do. If you don't do it, these are the consequences.
Absolutely.
And so
that,
you know, and that's what boys are used to. That's what their coaches do with them. You know, that's what the male teachers do with them. There's not a lot of conversation. I had to learn that.
Wow.
I had to learn that. So that's what I found. Whereas with my daughter, my daughter loves to talk. If she stopped talking, I knew I had a problem. So
okay.
I'd encourage her to talk. Now, it doesn't mean that the son doesn't talk, because I can get him started. All I have to do is tap into what he likes to do. He likes ice cream. He likes alternative music. So I'll say real casually, why don't we go get some ice cream, especially if I want to talk or pick his brain. We start eating ice cream. Now, I'm not a huge ice cream person, but guess what? On that night, I enjoy ice cream. And I'll sit there and I'll look down at my ice cream and I'll start just casually asking questions, you know, and just going through. And I'll find out a wealth of information. That's the boy. Daughter is entirely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, with me and my son, my daughter do too, and this is my father. We all love pizza. But, I mean, my son probably loves it more than anybody. So you're absolutely right. If I take him to Giordano's or Beggars or something, I'll find out the world. I'll find out everything that's going on, you know, just by sitting there eating pizza and then slowly, you know, asking them certain questions. So you're absolutely right about that. I totally agree with that. Okay, that's great.
The other
great
thing that I think is important, I don't mean to cut you off, Anthony,
I
lose the thought, is I like dinner together. I like family dinner together. Whoever made it home, we got to sit together. There's no cell phones. We're not even going to answer the house phone if it rings. We're going to sit together and have dinner. And hopefully that gives an opportunity for all the little weird stuff that's been going on. Maybe somebody's been bothering you at school. You know, maybe your teacher, you think your teacher doesn't like you. Or, you know, some of that gets to come out if you have consistent time like that in your day with your kids.
Absolutely. You're right. Absolutely. Because that's something that we did here when they stayed with me quite often. You know, we just sit at the table and just talk and eat, you know, and no phones or nothing like that. So that definitely works. I encourage anybody, even in today's microwave society, as my co-host always likes to say, you have to figure it out. Yeah, she loves that. I mean, that cracks me up every time she said, like, microwave society. But, you know, it's just the truth, though. Everything is so fast-paced nowadays that sometimes you just got to take a step back, a few steps back, and try to slow things down. I believe that is definitely one way to do it. You know, just a simple dinner or lunch at the table with no cell phones or no outside, you know, interference to really help the family a lot. Absolutely.
Oh, it really does. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you're not talking to your kids, somebody is. And it's more than likely not somebody you want, right?
Yeah.
So either they're listening to the videos, or they're listening to the reality shows and trying to be like those people on the reality shows, or somebody at school who you, if you met them face to face, you would not like them at all because of the influence that they have on your kid. There's a lot of peer pressure, and all of the kids, unless they have your stamp on them, they want to be like each other. So guess what?
Right.
You got to be in there every day. It's really a battle. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, I even talk about one-minute parenting. You know, one minute. It's going to, of course, take more than 1 minute. But each time that you talk with that child, you know, and just touch base with them, you can't tell them everything. I learned that the hard way. You know, I'm trying to always tell you what to do. Mom, I already know what to do. You know, I just want you to listen. Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Right.
And we can be sorry. I mean, as parents, we're human. You know, we don't know everything.
Right.
We'd like to, but it's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I really don't know that. You know, let me find out. You know, let me find out and tell you. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, admitting that.
Wow, so you're really hitting some points because, you know, this is something that I tell a lot of parents and I tell myself that it's okay to admit that you might not know or that you made a mistake and apologize for it and move forward, because I think the sooner you do that, the more of a better response that you get from your kid when you can kind of show that, you know, you're not perfect and you understand some of the emotions that they're feeling, because, you know, we have been there. That's one advantage that we have, and I try to stress it a lot, you know, to my kids. I'm like, it hasn't much really changed, maybe just more cell phones and you're able to get things a lot faster, but some of the emotions that you're dealing with because of trying to be popular or your insecurities or your fears and doubts, at some point or another, I've dealt with those things as well.
Well, can I just mention a subject that's really taboo? Let's talk a little, just briefly about sex. How many people, mm-hmm. how many kids have had sex because one of their peers, either male for the female, said, you know, you're not going to be popular, or I'm the most popular boy in the school, and if you don't have sex with me, you're nobody. And, I mean, mm-hmm. how many times does that happen? And yet, mm-hmm. if you talk with your kids early on, consistently, I'm not going to say that they're not going to have it, but they're going to be a lot more mm-hmm. educated. You have a better mm-hmm. chance of them at least having some kind of defense when somebody comes up mm-hmm. with a comment like that to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my daughter just experienced that as well. I think, you know, she's a freshman at Rich Saw, and she got approached mm-hmm. by a senior male, and he never even asked her name. He just kept saying baby, boo, these different names. And like I told her mm-hmm. and her mom said, I said, that's strike one. If he's not even trying to get to know your name or anything like that, you already know he's doing this to every girl he walks up to. And come to find out, that's exactly what he was doing. And my daughter recognized it and came back and said, you guys was right. Y'all was right. And said, you know, and he was, like you said, the one-minute parenting. I definitely just wrote that down and underlined it. Because I try to do that and didn't even realize just by simple texting, like, you know, great morning, have a good day, call me when you get in, or text me again, something like that. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That is so important. I mean, you know what? Listen, let's use the technology, too. How many times, mm-hmm. like you said, send them a text, I love you, have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll accept yes. that faster than they will you trying to hug them as you letting them out the car in front of the school.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have that.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, they got a reputation yeah. to protect. But I like, as a dad, what you're saying, because a lot of dads, I want dads to talk to their daughters. I really do.
Yes.
And tell
absolutely.
Them, don't fall for the okey-doke. Just don't fall
right.
for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I even told her, like, I explained to my son, I say, you know, you're like the first line of defense because you've already living it and you're going through it a little bit. So if she doesn't feel comfortable coming to me, make sure you give her some sound advice, some of the things I instill to you, you know, and explain that to her, that she has to be willing sometimes to reach out to him or to me, you know, but it's always somebody. That's my point. It's always somebody that she knows that she can count on, you know, as far as people in her family. So, you know, it's been working pretty well, you know, and I like that she even shared that information with me and her mom about the senior that was trying to, you know, talk to her or whatever. So, yeah, it's very important to have that, you know, a one-minute parenting. Definitely. I encourage that. Before we take our break, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the marketing and the legacy as far as you're in the literary world. But
okay.
I want to focus on your three projects. For you, and I ask this question usually if someone has written more than one project, what is your favorite one, or do you have a favorite one?
Ooh. Well, each time I write them, they're my favorite until I'm done, it's off to the press, and then I start thinking about it like I did with the Trying to Stay Sane. I thought mm-hmm. I was done. You know, I didn't start writing books. That wasn't my high school, you know, or college career. And then I realized when I met the parents at the boys' school, oh, my goodness, there's a whole market of parents, women and their boys. So then the Pampered mm-hmm. Prince, and that became my lifeblood, and I started really pouring into that. And then I was done with it, and I was like, okay, whew, I'm done. And then I'm teaching at a community college, and I have primarily women, young women, but some of the interesting relationships that they have with each other and with their mothers. So that's my third project, and that's coming out probably in the next few days. It's called Raising Your Daughter Through the Joys, Tears, and Hormones. So,
okay.
Do I have a favorite? Maybe the Raising Your Daughter is my favorite right now because it's the newest baby, if
okay,
you will.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. But each time I'm writing them, it's funny, each book has a different personality. I feel different
okay.
with them, just like we as parents feel when we have different children. you know.
Right.
So I can't really say I have a favorite one, but
okay.
at each, you know, at different times, they're favorites. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So what we're going to do is just take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about marketing, the struggles of marketing, if there is any struggles for you, and, of course, we want to get into a little bit of the literary, the legacy you want to leave in the literary world. So we'll be right back here with special guest Cheryl Williams on the Anthony and B-Fly Show.
In need of a professional event planner? Heaven Sent Event Planning is perfection at its best. We plan adult and children parties. We plan weddings. We book luxury travel accommodation. We plan girls' night out and trips. We plan golf and other events for the guys. We most definitely host stellar events. For more information, please contact Dacia Woods at 773-216-5778. This message is sponsored by Heaven Sent Event Planning. It's been a long time coming, kings and queens. My first published book, titled Life is Outstanding. It's a self-help motivation book by your very own, me, Anthony D. Collins. Life is outstanding, not because my life is perfect, but because I choose to live in a manner that will not allow me to think in a negative way. Our daily challenges will never stop approaching, but the way we handle them can decide whether or not our lives will be productive in a positive way. Stay strong. You can read that and more in my book, due to release in January of 2014. I thank everyone for their continuous support. Now, back to the Anthony and B-Fly Show.
Welcome back to the Anthony and B-Fly Show. I'm here today with Cheryl Williams, who's our special guest. She's a parent coach and the author of three novels. And I tell you, she's bringing a lot of insightful information. I see why I kept getting all the inboxes in, and I'm taking notes, you know. So I encourage everybody to do the same because, like I say, when it comes to parenting, especially if you have teenagers, and I don't know what was wrong with my clock, but I decided to have two teenagers around the same time. I had actually I had to do two graduations and two lunches is all at the same time. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking about my biological sexual clock. But anyway, you know, if you learn anything from me today about parenting, don't do that kind of timing when you don't have teenagers at the same time if you can. But we got Cheryl today. And Cheryl, the next few questions, if anybody, you know, especially an author been on my show, I ask these questions because I think it's important for us to network and share this information. When it comes to marketing, a lot of people always voice their opinion about marketing as far as the struggles of or how they have been successful when it comes to marketing their projects. For you, you know, is there any good and bad that you have to say or encourage anybody as far as marketing the book?
Oh, there's lots to talk about. I would say that I have had a lot of support. I remember when I was interested, when the first book, when I thought it was ready, it wasn't ready, but when I thought it was ready, my pastor at the time, Reverend Jeremiah Wright Jr., who's a writer himself, helped me along, gave me some suggestions and the name of a publisher. I've networked quite a bit. There's a couple of sites, World Literary, what is it called? World Literary, it's WLC. I can't think of the last mm-hmm. part of that. A community, mm-hmm. I think it is. And there are a number of bloggers and reviewers and authors who network together and share each other's information, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook. And, you know, just networking generally. It's I was relatively shy, and a good friend of mine said, listen, every time you're writing something, let the world know about it. Well, you know, if that's not the way you were raised, you feel a little uncomfortable just telling anybody and everybody, but you really do have to toot your own horn, because when you write the book, it's not going to just move on its own out to the various networks and markets that it needs to get to. Right now, for my third book, I've got a wonderful publishing company. It's 220 Communications, and the owner of that, Glenn Murray, is awesome. And he also has an excellent, lengthy social media network. So it's really nice to have somebody who is current with the technology today, lots of contacts. It's really nice to be under that umbrella as well, but you really have to do social media. So if you don't want to do a Facebook account, have somebody set one up for you so you can have a fan page, you know, have a Twitter account, you know, have a LinkedIn account. All of that's really important. Pinterest and even Instagram. I don't have Instagram just yet, but I'm told that's what I need to have. That's my next social media. But that's where everybody's, you know, communicating and talking. So the marketing is huge. If you don't know how to do it, take some online classes, hire somebody, you know, depending on what you need to do.
Absolutely. Great advice. Great advice. Another question I always ask, you know, after they come onto the show, I talk about legacy. I believe, you know, we all at some point want to leave a legacy behind when we do all this writing. So for you, what legacy do you want to leave behind with all the writing that you do in the literary world?
You know what, Anthony, that's a phenomenal question, because I didn't start with this in mind, but when I started writing, I really am just completely interested in parents and teenagers and tweens getting along, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the teenagers are on their way out as adults. It's nice to have your imprint on them. So I wasn't really thinking about the legacy per se, except to have better relationships. But I have been helping young authors along the way, because that's, you know, somebody pulled me up. So, if somebody tells me they want to write, or how do they get started, or, you know, if I have some connections, I share those. I check in on them from time to time, and at least try to pull them into some of the circles that I've, you know, gotten a chance to be part of. But I think it's a huge responsibility.
Absolutely it is, yes. That's great.
So when I hear about you've got a book coming out in January, so, you know, once we get off the phone, I got to look it up and get some information from you and stay in touch with you. You know, I think that network is huge.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Absolutely. I definitely appreciate it. Oh, yeah, that's what we are. That's something, because there's so many positive, you know, I mean, so many positive authors really here in Chicago. I mean them all over the world, but I didn't realize until I actually went to a book release party in June, and I networked with, you know, quite a few authors, and I mean, everybody has a story. It's a great story. So it's like I'm trying to figure out a way how we can, like, take it to another level and all come together and support and help each other. So I think that is, you know, really important, very important, actually. So, yeah, definitely we have to stay in touch after this and see what we can do. Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, Jeremiah Rice. Are you a member at Trinity?
That's my church. Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, my whole family goes there, so yeah, I'm definitely familiar. Yes, indeed.
Oh, wonderful.
You look familiar, so I guess that may be the connection, because everybody in my family goes there. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to catch me on the third Sunday. I'm a greeter, so I'm at the door greeting people. That's what I love to do. I love to interact with people and talk with them, you know, so find out where they are and where they're going. That's important to me.
Oh, absolutely. Great. I love it. Okay, now I think I want to try to center the single parents, because, you know, there's a lot of single parents down here for whatever the reason may be. So do you have any single parenting tips for parents raising teens?
Oh, I do. I really do. That's primarily why I wrote The Pampered Prince. The Pampered Prince is really for mothers, because I think when you're raising opposite sex children, so mothers raising boys, you know, a lot of times we just love those boys. We love them. We'll do anything for them. Now, will you do the same thing for your daughter? Well, maybe. So the adage is, you know, I raise my daughter, I love my son, which that's, you know, it's imbalanced. So in the Pampered Prince, I talk about, I give mothers tips on how to set guidelines and rules and stick by them. Because, you know, just like the girls wrap their dads around their fingers, the boys wrap their moms around their fingers. And you got to raise them. I mean, look how many of our young men are not making it past 21, 23, you know? So
absolutely.
We got to raise them into men, especially if you're raising them by yourself. You know, I always suggest a male mentor because I think that boys need people that look like them, you know, to help raise them into men. But if you are a single mom, even if you're a single dad and you're raising a daughter or a son, one of the things you need to do is have time for that child every day, no matter how busy you are. So that might be maybe you both have iPhones and so you do FaceTime and you're on the train and he's on the train or whatever. I mean, there are lots of ways to do that. There are lots of ways. Read a story at night. I know that sounds old-fashioned and crazy for a teenager, but you would be surprised at some of the things that work. They're just looking for the time with you. And you can't replace it with money. I can't give you $200 for a pair of Jordans, and that's our relationship. They're going to still need somebody to talk to.
Wow, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, man, this is a lot of great information. I see why my inbox is going crazy, but it's a lot of great information. A lot of great information, people. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'm still going to ask anyway. We kind of talked about communication, but, I mean, specifically for anything else that you want to add as far as communication tips for parents dealing with teenagers.
Okay, so if I were going to be very specific, I would say set some guidelines, whatever they are, whatever you know you can do. So, for example, if your child has done something that both of you know was not something that you expected them to do, broke the rules, okay, what's the consequence? Okay, so the consequence is that they can't go out for the weekend. Well, guess what, mom or dad, single parent, whatever, you guys can't go out for the weekend either. If your child is on lockdown, so are you. And I think a lot of parents forget that. They say, well, you're the child, you do what I tell you to do, and I'm going out for the weekend. I'm going to hang out with my friends. No, because what do you think that child's going to do? So that's one thing. You got to be consistent in your setting of rules. And then, you know, I can remember one time my son said to me, okay, I know this is going to be taboo for a lot of parents, but when I raised my kids, I believed in spanking. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it. And so I had promised him a spanking, and this was the honest kid. And he told me, he said, Mom, you told me you were going to give me a spanking. Are you still going to spank me? Okay, so that's why I say consistency. Whatever you say you're going to do, you have to do it. That's what they expect. They need that as a guideline. You got to have some time with them. That's why I'm advocating one meal a day together, whichever time of the day that is for you all. The other thing is show up sometimes at some of their events. Now, if they're in sports, hopefully you can show up to as many of those as possible. So if they play whatever the sport is, you show up at their games, awesome. But I'm suggesting that you show up at school. You always go to the parent-teacher conference, but maybe you just show up. Maybe you're late to work one day. Can you show up and so that you are the unexpected parent? They don't know when they will see you. That's important in a teen's life because sometimes they may be heading down the wrong track. You don't know it because they left home every day like normal, but they're cutting classes and you don't know anything about it.
Absolutely.
Showing up is a
good thing. I'm definitely writing that down. Yeah, I'm definitely right. And, you know, I can't lie. Because I used to do that with my son when he was in grammar school, especially when I had an on-job accident and I was off work. And it came to the point where, like, everybody knew me. You know, they actually thought I worked at the school, but I was just actually going up there being nosy. And I kind of got away from that. But, you know, my son is in college now, so I guess I won't pull that on him. But
no, you don't have to go up to college.
Right.
But your daughter could, you know.
Yeah.
She could use that.
Yeah, I definitely can. Can do that with her. Absolutely. Another interesting thing you brought up that kind of just hit inside of my inner world, in my inner circle, was that a friend of mine that he just had a major argument with this the lady he's in a relationship with, and she had put her kids on punishment, and he had made plans for them to go out. And she said she wasn't going because her kids on punishment. He was like, well, you're not on punishment. And she's like, yes, I am. If I want to show them that I mean business, I'm staying here with them. And he ended up being in a huge argument. He asked me my opinion. I said, well, man, you know, parenting, what I've learned about parenting is really nothing wrong or right. You know, everybody has their own way. Of course, we have the obvious wrongs when you're abusing a child. And like you mentioned earlier, we're not going to even get into that. That's not what we're talking about. So we understand that obvious wrong. But when you're trying to just think of ways to do things and you don't know, but you're going to try it or whatever, I don't believe there's no wrong or right way. I just believe that everything that we think about, every idea that comes to our mind is something that we can at least try. So I told him, man, you know, hey, if that's how she feels, you have to support that. I don't believe you should be all upset. Because
you
know, we're not even really doing that. We ain't doing nothing but going bowling. Yeah.
Right. And you know what? You hit on something that I wanted to mention. I had two thoughts when you said that. One is if you are dating somebody new, meaning that that's not your children's dad or mother, then you have to, especially if you marry, which is what I eventually did, you have end up with a blended family, and that's touch and go because, you know, your kids are going to say one thing to, you know, throw some oil on the fire, and, you know, and maybe that soon-to-be spouse. You know, everybody's got an opinion, but at the end of the day, you, like she did, you have to do what you think is right. You know, you really
absolutely
do. And it's a conversation. I mean, even when the parents raise the kids from birth, it's a conversation because one parent may feel entirely different about an event than the other. You still got to talk about it away from the kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to call him up and say, hey, Cheryl Williams said you was wrong, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll crack him up. But, yeah.
Who was that person?
It was, right, exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, man, what are you and your radio show? That's all he said, you and your show. Oh, yeah, but that's great information. I'm glad you brought that up because that actually just happened last weekend because we all just had a plan to go out bowling and there really wasn't any kids with us. So, you know, he was upset about that. But, I mean, I'm like, man, to me it ain't even no big deal. We just bowling. But he made it like it was the end of the world. But, yeah, great point.
And you
lastly,
know what? If I can just add this real quick, the other thing that's really important is when you start dating somebody, some of the same, you know, gosh, it's kind of touch and go. So if you are really close with that person, you've got to decide what you will and won't do in front of your children. So, you know, I don't really even know how to approach with that, but let me just be point blank like I usually am. So you guys are intimate. Well, how do you feel about having your children at home with you and you've got somebody that's, you know, not their dad? You're involved with them. I mean, you just have to really watch the what you are showing in front of your kids because guess what? They're going to do what you do, not what you say.
Absolutely. I say I live by that quote. You know, it's not what you say. It's what they see and what you do. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Can I just say one thing? This last book that's coming out, Anthony. So the Raising Your Daughter book, which will be out in the next few days, it's available for pre-sale on Eventbrite through Wednesday. So it's Raising Your Daughter Through the Joys, Tears, and Hormones. And if you just Google that and put Eventbrite or pre-sales, then the link will come up. So I'm trying to get as many pre-orders as possible. So that when it hits Amazon, maybe we'll hit the bestseller list. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, absolutely.
But I also,
wouldn't
that be nice? And then my editor or my publisher told me yesterday that they're going to submit it for consideration for an NAACP award. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's awesome. And to add to that, give the listeners all your contact information that you want to know that they can reach out to you if they want to or get any, you know, all your books or whatever.
Okay. So the first two books, Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen, and my name on the books is C. Lynn Williams, Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen, and The Pampered Prince, Moms Create a Great Relationship with Your Son, both by C. Lynn Williams, are available on Amazon.com in paperback as well as ebook format. And then, like I said, the newest book, Raising Your Daughter Through the Joys, Tears, and Hormones, is available on Eventbrite for pre-order. My website is www.clynnwilliamsalltogether.com. And then my blog, I have a blog, is, it's a little longer here, author C. Lynn Williams. WordPress.com. And my alter ego usually comes out in that respect. I usually start writing about all kinds of issues. The last one was on teen dating violence. Mm-hmm. And the one before that was, hey, your pants are hanging. So, you know, I just go off the deep end when I start writing in my blog.
That's the fun part about blogging, because I find myself doing it. I just go crazy.
I read yours.
Absolutely.
I liked it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I got one more question, but before I do that, I'm just going to kind of close things out, but I still want to get to this question before everybody continue the rest of their Sunday afternoon. I just want to remind everybody that we do have a special broadcast this Tuesday night. I'm honored and privileged to have Dr. Booker T. Coleman visiting us. He was involved in the Hidden Colors movies, 1 and 2 documentaries, and he's going to be discussing our educational system and how it has failed us. He's going to give us a historical perspective, a spiritual perspective, and also an education perspective. So please join us Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm sure you'll be enlightened by that show. And now I can kind of make the announcement that starting January 31st of next year, I'll be starting my traveling workshops. The organization is called Just Us. I'm teamed up with 5 young ladies from Atlanta, and we're going to start in Atlanta. But the mission of these workshops is to go into the stricken community and ask what the problem is. I think a lot of times we assume we know what the problem is, but what we're going to do is go into these communities and ask what the problems are and do our best to provide the resources to try to make a change in what's going on. And my mission and my goal would be great for me to accomplish if we can have a location in every state, which would be 50 locations. Right now, we're going to start in Chicago, in Atlanta, and do the first workshop in Atlanta. I reached out to a young man in Florida. I reached out to someone in New York and North Carolina and Tennessee. So hopefully this is something that continues to grow and we can make it, you know, something big. So stay tuned for that as well. Sure. One last question. I know you're married. What did I do with my question? I'll tell you. Okay. Yeah, I know you're married. So definitely got to give big ups to your husband, because you know it's always teamwork and communication involved. So, but for you guys, how have you learned to stay sane while raising your kid?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Well, ours is a real interesting story because this is our second marriage, and our oldest is 30. So both of us have a daughter and a son. So now we have two of each. And staying sane was relative. I mean, you know, initially I was going through divorce, moved my suburban children to Chicago, and culture shock. His story was a little different than mine, but basically the same. Although his children grew up with their mother in another city. And, you know, we were both very family-oriented. And so once we married, we talked to each other, and there was no discussion with the children in terms of trying to break us apart. Well, no, Dad said this, no, Mom said this. We stood on one accord, and I think that's something that parents have to do. It doesn't mean that in the room when the doors close, you're like, oh, my God, what did I just do? You know, you have those moments. But when you're working with your children, you know, and we were really interested in them, they didn't always like us. But, you know, that's not really our role as parents. for our kids to Absolutely. Like us, not initially.
Right.
So
right.
we had to live with that a little bit. But like I said, I actually lived the taking the time out. And, you know, I explained to my kids, I have a strong faith, as you know. So I told them, God is holding me responsible for raising mm-hmm. you. I know what I'm supposed mm-hmm. to do. So if I shirk that responsibility, then that lets God down, and I'm letting you down.
Absolutely.
That's kind of hard for them to fight.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And my husband felt the same way, so.
Absolutely. Great communication. I love it. I love it. Well, sure, I want to personally thank you, and be Flywood, too, for having you on our show today. And one thing we always express to anyone that comes onto our show, that you're family now. Anything that we can do within our means to help promote or do anything that you're trying to do, just let us know. We're just fingertips away always, because we usually always meet on the internet, so I say we fingertips away. But hey, I know where you at, so I know where you're gonna be at some Sunday. So I might run into you. But again,
please.
We're appreciate.
Oh, please.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
I can't wait to hear your feedback on the Trying to Stay Sane book either.
Oh yeah, You know what I do? Every book that I read, I take a picture with it, and then I do a review once I'm through reading it. So yes, absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
I look forward to it. And I definitely will share that information well. Before everybody get out of here, because B-Fly gets on me all the time that I usually forget my Anthony thoughts. So today I'm going to leave you guys with this. It wasn't until I fully overstood, it is nothing wrong with asking for help to accomplish a task. I used to always think I can do everything without any help from anyone. I have learned no one who successfully accomplished something worthwhile has done it without help from someone. Our biggest problem is we will criticize others' success because things are not going well for us. My question to those individuals still concerning themselves with others' success is, have you truly done all you can to be successful? Have you searched for the proper help or resources to make your dreams a reality? Are you still saying to yourself, being positive all the time is not a reality? If so, it shouldn't be hard to figure out why your life is still not where you want it to be. Stop comparing your success to other people's success. We all have our own definition of success. Do your best and keep a positive outlook as much as possible. Believe in you. Those are Anthony thoughts here on the Anthony B. Fly Show. Don't forget, we have a special broadcast this Tuesday, 9 p.m., 7 p.m. Central Time. Again, we thank Cheryl Wales for joining us today. And you guys continue to have a great Sunday afternoon. Take it easy, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
In need of a professional event planner? Heaven Sent Event Planning is perfection at its best. We plan adult and children parties. We plan weddings. We book luxury travel accommodation. We plan girls' night out and trips. We plan golf and other events for the guys. We most definitely host stellar events. For more information, please contact Dacia Woods at 773-216-5778. This message is sponsored by Heaven Sent Event Planning.